This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us on a Monday here on SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. You know, an interesting thing is happening to the Golden State Warriors, right? The back-to-back NBA champions. Remember when Kevin Durant joined the Splash Brothers, Steve Kerr-led, Draymond Green, problematic Golden State Warriors? Remember that? And everybody went, oh, wow, this is going to be great, quote-unquote. We didn't really like it because a superstar was going to an already superstar-filled team, an already excellent basketball team. And it looked like, oh, he just wants to piggyback on the excellence of what's going on with Golden State. He should go to somewhere where he's the centerpiece, where they're winning titles because he's the focus of the team. Now he's just joining another group of guys that are already starting to build their own dynasty. We had all these kind of takes about what Golden State was and what Kevin Durant's addition, even though it made them almost unbeatable on paper, it just didn't feel good. But a funny thing is starting to occur. Kevin Durant is unstoppable. He is the centerpiece of this team. He is going to be the reason that they are going to be crowned champions. He has played phenomenal. That game three, the way he is feeling about game four, like, wait, okay, so you lose on the road in overtime, but we've got this. We've got this. Steph Curry has had his ups and downs. The finger probably didn't help his shooting at all. There might be still something there. When they say, oh, you popped it back in after game two, it's fine. Maybe it isn't fine. Maybe it is something that is going to plague him a little bit until it, you know, heals enough. Maybe he comes out in game four and scores 40. Who knows? But all I know is this. Durant, since Patrick Beverley was getting into his head in game two, and that became the narrative in the series against the Clippers, he has turned into the guy the Golden State Warriors are using to win another NBA championship. His defense has been outstanding. His play, especially his ability to hit threes, has been phenomenal. We always know this about Durant, but this is now becoming his team. I know it seems sacrilegious because it should always be Steph Curry's team, but this might be Durant's team.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
In the dumb in about 30 minutes for your Monday. I'm sure there's going to be some good ones. What a weekend. But back to Kevin Durant, who I think is now the centerpiece of the Warriors, which, you know, listen, when you've got three stars, you know, four, you want to count Draymond Green, it's hard to be the centerpiece. You know, you could go, he doesn't, somebody else. It's all been Kevin Durant. This has been fantastic to watch. He has been phenomenal. I mean, we had over 40 points in the overtime loss in game three and then felt like, nah, we're good. We're good. It's okay. We're fine. Listen, this is a guy that, you know, he's got such thin skin. But now he's playing at a level of basketball that I think he's going to start feeling the kind of importance that I think he's always wanted. And he's always been, you know, he's in Oklahoma City, he had that. But since joining Golden State, remember how bad that felt? Like, remember how criticized that move was, right? Well, you could list all of the guys in the old days. They would have never done that. They would have never left a team to go join a championship team just to win a ring, just to make the team better. I'm sure he heard that and it bothered him because things bother Kevin Durant. We talked about this on the show. He seems to be a guy that seems always angry at something. He just doesn't seem to be very happy. But if you go and say, you don't need him happy. You just need him playing like this. You just need him as good as he's been playing. I mean, he's hitting threes. He's playing great defense. He gets his shot off. He's whatever, coming off the pick and roll. He's doing all of these things. The only thing he's not doing very well is the rebounding is a little off, as has been pointed out. But other than that, he has been fantastic. And he has been the centerpiece of a team where, again, I don't know if it's the finger, but Steph Curry's been just so inconsistent. And it's just not in game three, right? He's been kind of inconsistent at times in this postseason. But Durant hasn't. Durant has played very well. You could go back again to the Patrick Beverley getting into his head in game two, where that was really when the Clippers won that game. They were down 31 and came back and won that game. Patrick Beverley was the story, right? Because the way he was getting to Durant. Well, Durant shook him off immediately, and he's been playing fantastic. And this is going to be a hard mountain for the Rockets to climb. The Rockets certainly can do it. But without LeBron James in the playoffs, if you're looking for the guy that's taking over the playoffs, I know a lot of you on the East Coast, a lot of you in the Central Time Zone, they're hard because they can be on late. Kevin Durant is the guy that's taking over the playoffs. A little argument for Giannis over Milwaukee, of course. You know, Kawhi is having a great postseason as well. But if the Warriors win the title again, this is going to be Durant's as the number one guy. That's who's going to help win the title here. It's going to be Durant. He's not an add-on. He's the guy you add on to. That's the way he's playing in this postseason. Now, the NBA ratings are down. I think a lot of it has to do with LeBron. The NBA would like Giannis to step up and become someone the nation wants to watch. They've got Durant and Curry and Thompson. They watch him. Harden is a guy the nation should be watching. Kawhi is somebody that the country should be watching. Joel Embiid and the Sixers, when they play well, is somebody the nation should be watching. I know it pales in comparison to LeBron. When LeBron is good and LeBron is playing in the postseason and just dragging a team in the Eastern Conference Finals, that's must-see TV for a lot of people outside the NBA circle. I don't know if the NBA has got somebody that drags people in. The ratings don't seem to show it, but Durant should be the guy. He is the focal point of what the Warriors are doing right now. He is the guy.
Yeah, but if they made Durant the focal guy, guarantee he would complain about it.
They probably would. Yeah, he would probably find
would
some reason to go.
Sitting there sulking,
no.
Like, God, why is the NBA all focused on my playing?
Why are you guys paying attention to me? Why aren't you paying attention?
You know,
to other people?
He almost, to me, he's almost Eeyore.
Yeah, right.
Of the NBA.
Sun is shining. You're up 3-1.
Oh, I'm wagging my tail again. Oh, ball.
And Curry, God, he missed a dunk. He missed a layup.
Well, I think he was doing that for us.
Right. Yeah. Just fun. Just having a good time. Whoops. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Just that little moment saying, see, I'm just like you guys. I put my pants on one leg at a time, just like you.
Yeah, but see, he's not like me because my wife doesn't have to fend off the groupies like his wife has to.
True.
On Instagram. My wife is like, you have no groupies. There's no groupies in sports radio. Steph Curry missing a 7 of 23. I'd like to blame it on the injured finger, but I'd also like to blame it on him just having a poor night. Why not?
I'm going to say Splash, the sun brother. Was in his eyes.
Maybe so. maybe the largeness of the Toyota Center got to him. Is that it? Gosh. I love this. I want this series to last forever. I hope. I mean, the whole James Harden thing is just hysterical.
You know, I mean, I was looking at the standings, the playoff standings. If things work out the way we hope tonight, every single series will be tied 2-2.
Yes.
That's
now we're getting something. The first round stunk
because
now we're getting something.
Not only do we want that, but the way the NBA schedules, if one team wins quickly, they're off for like 3 months.
Oh, no kidding.
During the playoffs.
They're off for an eternity. Right? It's just forever. But now we're now getting into some fun. I mean, this is getting good. I really hope that Boston series though is tied up at 2. But I don't know. I mean, Friday night was just a beatdown. That was a beatdown by the Bucks.
Yeah.
They took care of Boston.
Like they were upset.
Yeah, they were not happy.
Like, why'd you guys come into our building and win one?
Gosh.
Can't do that.
I know. I mean, here's the thing. Sometimes that team finds that thing and they go, yeah, we're not losing this again. And that's what the Milwaukee seemed to do. Like in that third quarter of game two, Milwaukee's went, wait a minute. Let's do this. And now we don't have to worry about Boston anymore. Kyrie was complaining every time Giannis was going to the lane, he was going to the free throw line. Yeah, because he gets fouled. Stop it. Stop fouling him. I know he's going to score, but you don't send him to the free throw line every time if you don't want him to go there. I mean, I don't understand. Foul him to send him to the line, or don't foul him and let him score, but one or two is going to happen. He's not going to not get calls. He's Giannis, for crying out loud. Kyrie knows this. My God, he worked with a guy forever in Cleveland that was exact same way. Always got calls to go to the line. But this James Harden thing is fascinating, isn't it? The way the argument now is how Harden kicks out his legs on the three. I saw this stat where three-point shooters get fouled like 1% of the time from shooting threes. And Harden gets fouled 11% of the time. That is a huge statistical anomaly that really needs to be looked into. But that's what he does. He definitely tries to draw contact. He's a master at it. And now that has been thrown out there. All of a sudden now everybody's like, wait a minute, hold on. Has he been doing that all season? I don't know anything about this. It's great. I love the conversations we're having about Harden. It's fantastic. But I understand where people are getting like, listen, this can't be officially dominated, officials dominated. That's just not good for anybody. We don't want that officials to be blowing whistles, not blowing whistles, calling things, not calling things. Look, if every game in the NBA is going to come down to complete complaining by players about who's getting calls and who's not getting calls and how many calls are made and how many calls aren't made, then these playoffs get tainted and get tainted quick. I mean, is Kyrie already setting up the Boston Celtics failure and excuse if they were to lose this series in five games? Is he already going to go down the road of, well, yeah, because Giannis goes to the free throw line every time he comes down the lane? See,
Kyrie right now.
What?
Kyrie, to me, feels like, at the end of this series, say the Bucks go on and win the next two,
right,
and just in embarrassing fashion, because the last two games have been very embarrassing for the Celtics. And they go down, they're not competitive, and Kyrie to me just feels like he's going to jump ship, demand a trade, create so much turmoil or controversy that at the end of the day they're just gonna have to get rid of him.
Yeah, and I kind of get the feeling he's kind of not long for Boston anyway. Yeah, absolutely. But listen, the Milwaukee decided to go aggressive. And when you go aggressive, this is what you're looking for. You're looking for buckets in the paint, or you're going to the line. Now, Kyrie's like, it's slowing down the game. But what is the official supposed to do if there's contact? Is he supposed to let Giannis get mugged? Is that what's going to happen? He's supposed to be like, he's going to let Bill Laimbeer chokehold him and throw him to the ground? Is that what he want? Kurt Rambis? 80s basketball? No, if he draws contact, he draws contact. That's the way it is. I get it. It slows down the game. Listen, man, nobody wants to see guys go to the free throw line all night long. It gets old. It's one of the things about basketball. It's hard to sell, right? You got this great half-court game. You got these great offensive sets. Good passing leads to good shots, et cetera, et cetera. But then it's marred by, every time, there's a whistle. Send them the line. Nobody likes free throws. They're boring. But the reality of it is they're part of the game. Celtics are going to have to adjust defensively. But it's hard. The guy's got a wingspan of a condor, for crying out loud. He's hard to stop. Now they're going aggressive, and that's the way it is. And Kyrie doesn't like it. And now Jason Tatum is like, well, I don't want to get fined. Is that what we're doing now? Is that what we're going to do in every series? Why not just blame the officials? Right, blame the officials. Why not? Because this is the trend. This is the trend that's going on in the league right now. The officials are in the news. So why not just make them in the news more? Let's see what happens. Right? Oh no. Let's complain about the officiating, or let's insinuate somehow that the officiating is bothering us so much that we can't get to our thing, our game. It's weak. I have to say this. I don't like this. I don't like this complaining, but I do understand the strategy involved. You try to do it delicately enough to plant the seed that something's amiss, right? It's like when you agree with something because you don't really know what the issue is. If somebody says, well, yeah, of course kindergartners should have guns in school. And you're like, oh, yeah, why not? You're like, wait a minute, hold on. What did I just agree to? It's like, what Kyrie's trying to do is trying to get the officials to go, yeah, maybe we are slowing down the game too much. But they're supposed to be super experienced enough to go, I'm not falling for that banana in the tailpipe. I'm not going down that road. But Kyrie's just trying to plant it enough. Like, man, you guys call all sorts of fouls. It ruins the game. And the officials go, man, maybe I do ruin the game. Maybe I better lay off a little bit. Maybe I shouldn't call so many fouls. And the other one's like, nope. I got this whistle in my mouth and I'm just going to tweet it all night long. But it's I don't like that series being tainted by officiating. I don't. I want Boston to play better. All right, 800-777-2907. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. Don't forget, the good, the bad, and the dumb, that's coming up in 15 minutes. It's SB Nation AM.
SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, doing a repair that needs a special tool, O'Reilly Auto Parts makes it easy with their loaner tool program. Over 80 specialized loaner tools are available, and they're sure to have the tool in stock to help you get the job done. Purchase the needed parts and put down a deposit on the loaner tool. Return the tool in the original condition. Receive a full refund. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Ron, I was reading this article, and I found out why it hurts so badly when you step on a Lego. You ready for this?
Yeah. You know what?
I didn't realize, you know, you always go, well, it's a piece of plastic. It's a toy. Why does it hurt? Why does it hurt more than others? Why does stepping on a Lego hurt so bad? So here's what the article says.
Because it's a demon toy. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know, right? But it's all about physics. As the Smithsonian notes, Legos are made from an incredibly strong and durable plastic, and combined with their compact size means they can withstand 950 pounds of pressure before breaking. If you're unfortunate enough to stand on one, therefore, the pressure you are exerting has no chance of dissipating into the brick. You know what can't withstand a great deal of pressure, though? Your foot. When faced with a literal immovable object, your foot crumbles and warps itself around the brick knobs and sharp corners, combined with the fact, as we mentioned, the foot is has a lot of nerve endings with pain. That's why Legos hurt when you step on them.
Now, first question that comes to my mind. Uh-huh. How much was this guy paid to study this thing?
I know.
Because that seems like, you know, you can knock that thing out in an hour.
Figuring out that the foot, because the foot has I was looking up stubbing your toe because I was telling you earlier that I had stubbed my toe on Friday and I wanted to cry. Like literally like a child.
And you know
like,
what? I literally wanted to cry. There's no shame in that because we've all been there.
I'm not kidding. I kid you not. I wanted my wife to get me a sippy cup. Like I literally wanted to just sit on the floor and weep like a baby. It hurt so bad. I'm surprised it doesn't hurt now. It was so painful. And I literally was on the floor and I was grabbing my foot and I was rocking back and forth. And I was like, it was agonizing pain. So I was just looking it up, you know, just to be like, wow, why in the world does it hurt? And they brought up the Lego factor of your foot. And I was like, man, that's pretty fascinating.
So the worst combo would have been to stub your toe, you know, you immediately jerk back, step on a Lego.
Yeah, right. And you forget it. You might as well go to the hospital. Forget it. You might as well
just take the foot, doc. Just
exactly.
Take it.
Just call an ambulance. Just have them come to the house. You're done. You are finished. Max Homa won the Wells Fargo Championship on the PGA Tour. And the reason I bring this up, I usually don't bring up PGA Tour wins. Usually majors. We talk about the majors, but I usually don't bring up regular tour wins. This guy had no money in his bank account like last year.
Nice.
He made $18,000 playing golf, like I think 2 years ago, maybe last year. In 2017, 2 years ago, he missed 15 of 17 cuts on tour. 50. That was just 2 years ago.
You know what?
2 years ago, he's like, I can't make money doing this.
That's stories like that are what make us all believe we can be golfers as well.
Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing?
I could miss 15 to 17 cuts easy.
The pressure you are under to make cuts as a PGA Tour golfer, it's unbelievable. You have to answer for this for everybody that you have a logo with. So you have a shirt. It's got like four logos on it. You've got a bag that's got a logo on it. You're playing with clubs. You're getting paid to play with these clubs, and you're not making cuts. And you have to answer for that. You have to answer to the sponsors as to why you're not on television, right? And he's chugging along like, all right, I think I'm going to do this. I'm going to make it. And you're like 15. Can you imagine every Friday, like, nope, I'm not getting any money this week. Okay, not getting any money this week. I know it's coming. I know it's coming. Any day now, I'm going to get a check. I swear I'm going to get a check. And then you finally get a cut and you make, you know, a couple $1,000. You're like, oh, God. And then you win. He won $1.8 million at this tournament in North Carolina. He now gets to play at the Masters. Everything that you'd never thought was going to come your way in four magical rounds where you just played lights out golf, you are now getting the huge benefit of being a PGA Tour champion, PGA Tour winner at the Wells Fargo. And that wasn't, listen to this, that wasn't a weak field. That, I mean, Jason Day was in it. Jason Duffner was leading this at one point. Rory was leading it. Sergio Garcia was there. I mean, it's a great field. It is a really, really great field. And he won by three. So that's a pretty good, pretty good run. Imagine that though. Like when do you quit? When do you go, man, I'm going to be a club pro. I can't make any money doing this. Like I have soon. Right? You're thinking any day now, I'm not going to be able to do this. I can't do this for a living. I can be a golfer. I can be I can give lessons. I can work some resort somewhere in Nevada.
Time to go on the long drive circuit. Yeah,
exactly. But playing this game on this level, I can't do it. I can't do it. Listen, I remember one year I got invited into this tournament. I was in Colorado and I got invited to play in this tournament as a media guy, and it was pretty fun. Have you ever played with like a pro? Have you ever played golf with like a real pro?
No.
It makes you want to quit. I'm not kidding. It makes you want to quit. I got paired up in this foursome, and one of the guys that we got paired up with, he was a pro, a professional golfer. Now, I don't know if he had some runs on the mini tour nationwide. He wasn't on the PGA tour. He was on the mini tour. He shot 30. On the back nine of this golf course we were playing at. Now, he wasn't playing from the tips, but he wasn't playing from the front tees either. But he shot 5 under. That's because we were playing par 70. So he shot 5 under 30 on the back nine of this golf course. Now, I get a firsthand witness to this, right? Like, I'm watching him hit shots from all different areas, the way he curves the ball, the way it lands 3 feet from the hole. I watched him make 20-footers like they were nothing. It's another level. It's just another level of greatness that when you watch somebody be able to do that, it just makes mind-boggling. So can you imagine being able to do that? Being able to do that and still not even being close enough to win on the PGA Tour? Like, yeah, I could go to any course in the country, see it for the first time and shoot a 60, 67. I'm that good of a player. But when I get on tour, not even close. I'll shoot a 70 and I'm in 130th place. Because everybody plays on this is much better than I am. And then finally breaking through. Like when I was watching that guy play, I was like, this guy, like, I'll never hit the ball like that. My ball will never sound like his does when it leaves the club. Like he had that sizzle where he hits the ball and goes, and just hits the green and spins. And anything you wanted to do with it. You wanted to go left to right, right to left, high, low, anything you wanted. Anything you wanted, he made happen. And that's what this guy can do. That's what Max Homa can do on any day, any course, anywhere in America. And he missed 15 of 17 cuts until he finally won yesterday. That's incredible. I mean, I never liked the PGA Tour saying when they go, these guys are good. Because, yeah, of course they should be good. They're professional golfers, for crying out loud. That's what they do for a job. But it really makes you think and go, they have nobody's giving them money for poor performances. Like, you can shoot 6 of 25 in an NBA playoff game and your check's still cash. But if you shoot 3 under, no one's giving you a check. It's crazy. Good, bad, and the dumb coming up.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
right, the good, the bad, the dumb for a Monday as we kick the week off. All right, so let's go with the good.
You want to know what the good was this weekend? The good was all about 90s nostalgia.
Okay.
And
I love
actually, it was just one moment of 90s nostalgia that I had.
Okay.
I don't know if you checked it out, and if you haven't, you need to. But Adam Sandler returned to Saturday Night Live for the first time since he was, he put it best, fired from the show back in the mid-90s.
I saw this, so I'm so glad you mentioned it.
It was about 20, 25 years ago. Did you watch it?
I didn't watch the episode, but I watched his tribute to Chris Farley.
Yeah, I didn't want to really put that in the good because, I mean, it was so good that I don't want to talk about it.
It was really good. It was really good. But I want to see some more clips. I saw some clips online. I don't watch Saturday Night Live anymore, and I should. I don't have any problem with the show. I know some people are like, it's getting too political. I don't care. It's always political.
Yeah,
I mean, fine.
Even the opening montage was actually, you know how they always have that like cold open?
Yeah.
And then they go live from New York on Saturday night. They said, we were going to make fun of William Barr on the congressional stand, but he didn't show up, so there's nothing
right.
they could do.
Yeah,
so instead, we're going to do Family Feud, Game of Thrones versus Avengers.
Oh, see, that's the kind of stuff I like.
That was kind of fun. I mean, they probably could have done a better job with that, but it was almost like a filler just because everyone, I think we all just wanted to see Adam Sandler.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I understand people. Listen, if you're a Democrat, you think the Trump jokes are hilarious. If you're Republican, they get nauseating at times. And I understand there's a little bit too much of that on that show. That's been around. They've always done political humor. Maybe they're doing it a little too much. I kind of just stopped watching it, and I feel bad because sometimes my sister watches it, and she'll send me clips, and she'll say, you really, really should watch this. It's really hilarious. And I'll go, oh, my God, that is really funny.
No, but I'm with you. The only time I ever catch it on is because, oh, you know what? I'm still up and it's there.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
but I
not,
heard
it's
this,
not appointment TV for me.
I heard the episode was great. I just was
all
great.
I can say, like the one thing, I mean, there's a lot of, there's a lot of self-deprecating humor from Adam.
Yeah.
During the, there's a Sandler family reunion that is really funny. But, the best part for me was the return of Opera Man.
Oh, I did. I saw that, too. That was great. That was really great.
And obviously, the Chris Farley tribute, which I've already seen that, him perform that song because he's on Netflix. I believe there's like a stand-up.
Yeah.
I think it's still on Netflix. And during his stand-up show, he performs that song.
Adam Sandler has got a great career in this regard. He is at a point now where he can do whatever he wants with whoever he wants and anywhere he wants. And so you notice that within some of his movies that take place in these really exotic locations, and he'll just be like, I'll be a doctor in Hawaii. and because he wants the crew to go to Hawaii, and they all just want to go there for like 3 months of filming.
It's funny you mention that because in this opening montage, he does a song talking about how he got fired. And there's a line in there during that opening montage where he talks about getting fired and how, he thought he was down, but his movies have made over $4 billion, so I guess he won.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Lines.
And you think about it, it's like, yeah, I mean, everyone always complains about Adam Sandler movies that they're not funny, they're this, they're that, whatever it may be. But there's still a box office draw. People still watch him. Maybe they don't go to the movie theater to watch him. That's why all his movies are coming out on Netflix now. But people are still watching him. He's still breaking in the dough.
Yeah, people watch him enough. There's enough of an audience for his movies. But there was one movie that was on not that long ago where he was a guy taking his family on vacation to South Africa.
Oh, Blended.
Right, Blended, yeah.
Fantastic.
But again, it goes to, where do you want to shoot this, Adam? Where would you like to take everybody? Oh, let's go to South Africa. We'll do some safaris. We'll have a good time. Great. That's where the whole movie is going to be set. That's what he's doing now.
Yeah, no,
he is doing exactly what he wants in his life.
No,
exactly. Nobody's telling him what to do.
All his movies are rom-coms.
Yep.
But more heavy on the comedy than on the romance.
Yep. And he's God bless him. And he's a New Hampshire boy to boot, so
yeah,
Manchester West grad.
It was fantastic. It was really, really fun to watch.
Yeah, that was really good. All right, so the bad?
The bad is Office Space is so expensive in San Francisco that employees are working in parking spaces for $2.25 an hour.
What are we doing here?
basically what they're doing is they're bringing out a desk. This one guy started it all and just said, you know what, it's a beautiful day outside. He can't really afford an office anymore. He develops apps and tries to make it, try to earn a living that way. So he decided to take a desk and put it in a parking spot, one of the metered parking spots. And he literally just feeds the meter quarters.
And that's what he...
$2.25 an hour.
So he just... Oh, my God, that's great. That's a, but that's too bad. He can't find a spot to do his work.
What I'm upset... You know, the really reason why... I mean, it's a genius idea. It's just so bad that... Real estate in San Francisco and the Bay Area in general has gotten so expensive. I read something the other day. In order for you to for a family to own just a modest home, right? Nothing spectacular, no frills. That family needs to be earning well over six figures.
So when you say well over six figures,
I'm saying
is that,
well. Oh, I'm saying like at least
like half a million.
Nah, you know, I don't think you have to go that far. That maybe not well over, but at least over six figures, like $120,000-$150,000 a year. Just to own,
just to earn something really like modest,
just
and,
to have you know, maybe a own like a two bedroom condo.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
that is crazy. My God, it's just when there's no solution to that, right? Supply and demand, right? There's no solution to that. People with money will come in, and if they want your place, they offer you half a million for it or a million for it. That's what the market bears.
Yeah.
So there's no end in sight.
No, and that's, I mean, that's just, I guess that's because of Silicon Valley. I mean, for me, I always thought Southern California was more appealing than the Bay Area because you don't get as much fog and cold weather. I mean, what Mark Twain said that the the coldest winter he ever had was a summer day in San Francisco.
That's right.
Something
that's
along those lines. So, the Bay Area is just a lot more expensive than Southern California.
Yeah. It's crazy. That's going to happen in New York now. When people start going to like the subway stations for their office, I'll just park my computer here.
Going to park it right here. You know, get some free Wi-Fi because I'm 20 feet below Starbucks.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Wow, that's crazy. That is crazy. All right. So
the dumb of the day is this is nasty, but poop from Kentucky Derby winning horses is on sale for a low price of $200 of feces.
So somebody's going around.
Yeah.
Collecting the horse manure.
I've already collected.
Put it in a jar.
Yes.
Sealed the jar.
Yep.
And selling it.
And selling it.
Is there a market for this?
Apparently.
Okay.
I guess some of the proceeds does benefit Old Friends Retirement Farm in Georgetown.
Oh, see, man, really? That's come on now.
But if you're interested in a $200 jar from 1997 Kentucky Derby winner Silver Charm.
Oh, that's right. He almost had a chance to win the Triple Crown.
It's available. $200.
I think Silver Charm came up short at the Belmont. That's a good horse. That's a good horse. What about American Pharoah? How much can I get his droppings for?
Probably a lot more. No,
probably a lot. Triple crown poop? Yeah.
I don't have the figures on Triple Crown winners. So.
Wow.
American Pharoah. I imagine since his stud fee is a lot more that his price will go up. Unfortunately, though, I already forgot the horse that won already.
Country House.
No, not Country House. The other one.
Maximum Security.
Unfortunately for Maximum
Security. Wait a minute. You said I forgot the horse that won already.
Exactly.
Well, Maximum Security came in 17th.
That's right. Well, his feces has probably dropped.
Yeah, right? At first, literally. It was like flying off the shelves, and then everybody wanted their money back.
Yeah, but everyone was like, oh, wait. Because what do you think was going on during those 20 minutes? Returns.
Of course.
Returns
exactly.
were going
Somebody's
on.
Somebody's going around going, I got this. Imagine following Country Horse around the track, now, waiting. Just, all right, come on now.
All right, here's my question. I mean, they don't hand out the money right away, right?
The money?
If you had a winning ticket and you had bet the farm on Maximum Security and you won.
Right.
You know, and you rush to the gate. They don't hand the money.
No.
They're waiting, right?
Okay. No, they have to make sure. Yeah, they make it official. That's why as soon as the race was over, there was an objection. Like, they made the objection immediately. So that's why they held it off. But, yeah, the race has to become official, and they usually have to make sure, is anybody okay? Anybody good? Anybody, okay, great. And then they make it official, and then they pay it out. Yeah. So there was nobody who was able to sneak up, get their money before. But this cost this is what I don't like about the gambling. Now we're more open about gambling. When we talk about this, this change cost them $9 million. I don't care. I don't care what it cost anybody. This is gambling. This is what it's like. Why is that a story? Like, if they either got it right or wrong, that's the story. Don't tell me how much it cost bettors or it cost. I couldn't care less. The story is, did you get it right or wrong? Did they make a mistake? Did they do something out of the norm, or did they do something that was standard? Right? Was that move that horse made, is that illegal? Across the board, would that have gotten disqualified, whether it's a Kentucky Derby or a Wednesday day race? It doesn't matter. I don't care if that move costs $9 million. So what? It's part of this. It's part of gambling. I listened to an interview with a guy who took the $85,000 bet on Tiger to win the Masters. And he was saying, yeah, you know, I had to talk to the owner. The owner agreed to it, you know, made the bet. And he goes, most of the time, he goes, people come up and they ask, I would like to bet $85,000 on that. What kind of return would I get? And they give you the return. And then he goes, most of the time, we never hear from them again. Never time people just want to ask, but we never see him again. He goes, this guy came back with a bag of cash, $85,000. So I called my boss. I made him let the bet. It cost us, you know, seven figures. But you know what? That's the business.
Yeah,
so yeah,
that's why
that's
I
the
still,
business.
To this day, I still don't believe that was that guy's first bet.
I don't
ever.
Either. I don't either. I think he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, you have to.
Yep, completely.
You have to know what you're doing. You're not just walking in there with $85,000.
Had to know what he was doing. He got $85,000 in cash.
Exactly. But you know what? $85,000 in cash can buy you a lot of horse poop.
That's right. It certainly can. It certainly can. That's an amazing business, though. Like, somebody went, you know what? Somebody will buy this, and I'm going to go get it.
Yeah.
Somebody will buy this.
Now, the only thing that wasn't really clear to me, and I'm pretty sure it's the latter, is I'm not sure how fresh, so to speak.
I got you.
I don't think this is Silver Charm's horse manure from the day he won or, you know, shortly after.
Right. Gotcha. Okay.
Because that would be, you couldn't do that, right? You couldn't just go around like, oh, I'm going to save this.
And they're like, who are you?
Wait
for I'm collecting poop.
Moment.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Wow. All right. Good, the bad, and the dub for a Monday as we roll along on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
So back to the Kentucky Derby, which was decided by a overturned decision after Maximum Security veered over a little bit to cause other horses to dramatically affect their run. On a serious note, one of the things that was brought up was Maximum Security veering over a little bit could have caused a massive pileup. And you know what's amazing to me? This is a sport that, again, I just marvel at sometimes. When you watch 20, 19, 18 horses in a race and they get all punched together, it is amazing to me that horses aren't collapsing into each other, that aren't running into each other. I don't know how jockeys do it. I don't know how the horse does it. I just don't understand. Like, when you watch an auto race, for example, and you see like 15 cars packed tight at Daytona, right? Just bumper to bumper to bumper. You just know somebody's going to screw up. You just know something's going to happen. Someone's going to drift just one inch too much and all hell's going to break loose. And it's amazing that doesn't happen in horse racing. We don't have horses colliding into each other and feet getting tangled and everybody falling over and serious injuries. No, they just roll along and they keep rolling. And imagine if that would have happened, right? If Maximum Security had moved the same amount that he did coming off that final turn, just the same exact amount, but instead War of Will, I think, was the horse that really had to back up. if that horse had gotten tangled with another horse because of that movement, and it led to this chaos and injuries and horses, unfortunately, breaking legs and maybe having to be put under, then people, I don't think, would have any question, right? Well, there would be no question that horse did something wrong, right? Because that resulted in something, you know, catastrophic. But because we didn't actually see it with our naked eye, you still have people going, this is an outrage. How could the Kentucky Derby do this? Listen, again, I have to take people's word for it that was the right thing to do. As I said earlier, my cousin knows a lot about horse racing, was tweeting him. He made a nice bet, big bet on Maximum Security, would have got a nice payout. He is not losing sleep over it. He's kind of upset, you know, as you would if you lost money, but he doesn't think he was robbed. He doesn't think they cheated him. He doesn't think this is an outrage. He loves the sport and knows that the sport had to correct that immediately. Now, I was like, well, I'll take your word for it. But just imagine if, again, Maximum Security had drifted over just a little bit, but instead of all the horses kind of just pulling away or slowing up, that horse caused a massive pileup that resulted in serious, serious, serious injury. We would have no question he should have been disqualified. But because he didn't, now we question it.